Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line Podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios. Woo! Josh Webb, I've been missing a week. I figured that the post would start piling in. Where have y'all been? But I think that people...
They really haven't paid enough attention.
I think that people paid enough attention to personal pages to know that you were moving, and I was in Jackson at 4-H show all week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's been a busy week or 2 weeks for the both of us, but we've been finishing getting settled in, and you were farther south than normal. So, and somehow or another, we managed to see each other in all that time. So, but
I'll tell you this. I went to my mom's yesterday, and anyway, we were coming back to Oxford last night, and I got to that roadside park right there coming into Kruger. And This is no joke. And Fleming looked over at me and said, "Are you going to start honking your horn for Josh?" Because I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
Because I'll call you and tell you to walk outside as I'm going down the highway and I'm honking my horn. I'm not going to stop at your house at like 7 or 8 o'clock. People are wondering. But Josh is no longer in Kruger.
So, no.
Ed Fleming was upset, man.
Well, I apologize to Ann Fleming, but no, we're no longer there. I was there for a day or so last week, but not. We're no longer there permanently. So, I don't know. We'll have, should just have to come north and honk her horn. but speaking of Ann Fleming, I saw where she did really, really well. At all the, I don't know what all animals she showed, because when I saw you, whenever that was, it feels like a month ago now, but I guess it was just last week, she was gone showing pigs, and then y'all showed goats, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I thought so. I guess she spent a week or so in Jackson showing animals.
She was out of school for a whole week. Wednesday, from one Wednesday to the next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. She didn't go back. So seven, really almost 8 days. Not that many days in school, but anyway, did really good with no, people don't care about this, but she did really well with both pigs and goats. The last day, we won a ton with our does. With that, that's the of course the female goats.
Yeah. No.
All right. So about 12 o'clock that day in the afternoon, you show the males. That's the ones that go to the sale. Now I'm about to blow you away, Josh. If you win with your male goats and they get into what's called the sale of champions, because they're steer pretty much. Your male goats, you cut them. They're called wethers, not steers. But anyway, those go to the sale of champions if you win. We had been on the top of the world with our does that morning. About 12 o'clock, Ann Fleming says, "Hey, Eddie, I'm not feeling good." So Oh, you're just nervous. You're just nervous. She's heard us talk about fellow champions so much, she's getting nervous. I mean, these animals are the goats are selling from $7,000 to $12,000if you win. So
yeah,
it's a lot of nerves on an 8-year-old girl.
That's right, on a little kid. Yeah, exactly.
So we started showing about one after a break somewhere in there between 12 and 1, and I don't feel good. I don't feel good. Well, she gets out there, and you can tell something's going on. And she gets in there. The first two that she shows, they're okay. The last one, he is the bell cow of the show, of the whole show. I mean, he is freaking awesome. And she gets out there. She run lines. She didn't feel good. She started puking.
No, she didn't. That poor thing. Oh, that poor thing. Oh, man.
And she just wasn't able to get it done. And, you know, no fault to her, but didn't help being sick.
That's right. Well, I know she still had a good time, but that's good. I mean, and that's something it always amazes me at the investment of, I mean, not just money, but the time and energy that goes into all the animal shows and everything like that. I grew up around some guys that always showed cows, and I used to go down there with them when they did that, and it was when we were, you know, that young and all the way through high school. And it was just, it always amazed me. But anyway.
I mean, we return home. We've got 21 that are pregnant. So we'll have a lot of animals to choose from. And we'll sell some of them off this spring. And so it'll be a lot of fun this spring so many pregnant females running around.
Well, I'll tell you this too, before we get off of this. Like I said, we got to see each other for a short time of the day, but Waylon, he's asked multiple times when we can go back to Rocky's barn, but two, the other day I left, to go show some property, and Katie called me or texted me when I was gone and said, when you come back, you can grab Waylon and take him and go do something. I said, yeah. I said, what's wrong with it? She said, well, he is really, really, really mad at you right now. And I said, for what? I mean, I just, you know, I didn't, you know, told him bye when I left the house and think about it. Well, I come back home to Waylon, my 3-year-old, just wiping tears from his eyes. And I've been gone a few hours. I said, what is wrong? He said, you went to Rocky's barn without me. And it took me the rest of the day to convince him that I had not been to see Rocky, that I was working. But he I don't know what got in his mind to make him think that that's where I had been, but he just knew that I had been with you and was helping take care of goats without him. So Waylon has invited himself back to the barn. He was not happy with me, and I like I said, I don't know where he got that idea, but Katie said you got to take him somewhere. She said he just throwing a fit ever since you left because you and Rocky are together without him. I said okay, I'm sorry.
Hey, speaking of animals, I got to ask you this. You know, you moved away from Kruger, the ground zero of the search for Scout.
Oh boy.
I do not want to get into the validity of Scout. I'm not getting in that today. Okay. That's between them and the Lord. The people that lost Scout and the good Lord. I don't care. Scout may have to be at the bottom of Matthew's break. Scout may be running around playing with the pack of stray dogs somewhere. I don't know. I hope they found their dog. This is what I want to ask you, though. You know, they're trolls. that are trolling every time these people post something. And I can understand the trolls coming out of the woodwork on these posts. You know, you've got all these sightings with these cameras. But yet, you know, Scout's been seen 3 times today. And you make that post, and yet you fail to post a picture from the game cameras of him. They saw him through a scope. And the trolls come out hard on those posts. I hope, like Hades, that when one of these days that people don't say, hey, the reason I do this, I heard about it on the podcast, I think it's a joke. I hope that that's not the reason why. Here's my deal. There are a lot of good people following along with all of this that will protect the honor of Scout before they'll protect the honor of their own mother. I don't understand these people's thinking, man. There's a lot of people that are following this, that are standing up for it, that are becoming part of these search teams. Scout, hope you're found. But think of the usefulness in the world that these people could become a part of, and things that are really useful if they really put their hearts and minds into it like they do with this.
Yep, I know. I think about that a lot. I know. I hope that if I go missing one day that there's that many people that'll come looking for me and fight.
Hell no, there won't be. You're human.
I know. I mean, and I quit. I absolutely quit 2 weeks ago, maybe longer than that, 3 weeks ago, reading any of the, I mean, from time to time, if it happens to come across my screen, I'll read an update of the Scout stuff, but I quit going to the page and looking. It's the same wheels spinning, but they're just not going anywhere, it seems like. So I just, you know, and maybe they are, maybe they found the dog. I don't know, but yeah, I did think about that. I thought, man, you know, dang, if I go missing, I hope that there's that kind of effort to come look for me. You know, and then I kind of laughed about it in kind of the way that you just said. You know, I thought, nah, there probably won't be. There probably
no chance, man. You're a human.
There probably won't be. Yeah, no, you're right.
These animal lovers, man, that they are crazy, and there are probably some listening to this podcast. You are nuts. I don't care. If you would speak to some of these people that not animal lovers, I said that wrong. The animal nuts. There's a lot of good animal lovers. I love my pets, but I'm telling you, man, there are people that would sacrifice children for dogs.
Yeah, it's always you know. Just like any movie you watch. When you watch a movie and some dude gets shot, you don't think anything about it. But when somebody kills a dog or a horse in a movie, I mean, you get pissed off. You get mad. You know? It's like, hey, that's not right. You know, I don't know why or how that level of importance or the perception of that got shifted. I mean, I'm not saying that animals are not important. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you don't think anything about it when... You know,
man,
when somebody gets killed in a movie, but you let them kill a dog or kill a horse or something like that in a movie, and my gosh, I mean, the ratings go down.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, for all of you that's 40 years old or older that's listening to this podcast, won't you think back on something? Before we had heartworm medicine, before we had flea and tick medicine, think back on something. There was a time when a dog didn't live 3 to 5 years. That was it. If he lived past 5 years, they were a grandpa or grandma, big time old, elderly.
Yeah.
And dogs and cats were almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Utilitarian?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were just
came and went. You cried for a couple of months after they died. Don't get me wrong. It was very upsetting for your pet to die. But hey, there was another one right around the corner. They just, you know, it just became a part of life of growing up. They died. I can't remember how many times, I know of twice right now, of my dad climbing up under the house with toilet paper stuck in his nose to go pull out a dog that had died while we were on vacation.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, before any kind of, before it ever got to those days of medicine and stuff, yeah, I mean, animals just didn't, it was just the truth of it. They shouldn't last long.
Heartburn was like cancer, man. You just thought your animal died. You didn't know what a heartworm was back in the early 80s. Sure as heck fired. Didn't have medicine to give them.
I know, to help them fight it. Yeah,
you're too worried about buying groceries for yourself.
Yeah, rather than feeding 14 dogs and cats.
Oh, boy. Well, they'll have a lot of people texting us about this.
I know.
I better shut up.
But
hey, I got to ask you this. I want to ask you this from a real estate point of view. Then I got a story to tell you. Why do some real estate agents post? This has been bugging me all weekend. I couldn't wait to talk to you about this. And I didn't care if we talked about it on the podcast or off the podcast. But why do some real estate agents post all these great pictures, descriptions of a property, blah, blah, blah. Then you go to looking for the price and it's not there. Is it to get the people in touch with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me give you a piece of advice.
That's what the most of it is.
That's listening to this. That is the most annoying crap in the world. Post the price.
It's usually that, or it's a combination of that, and you know, when a price is posted, it don't matter how good the price is, no matter how good the place is, whatever it is. There's gonna be people that say, "Oh my gosh, I'd never pay that for this, or I'd never pay this for that, or I can't believe they want this and that, and we're the next door neighbor, and we'd blah blah blah." And so a lot of people just don't feel like fighting those kind of things. It wouldn't bother me. I mean, but it wouldn't bother me for those kind of comments to be on there. But my reasoning behind why it wouldn't bother me is because I catch all kind of comments like that from crap we say on this podcast. So I'm just kind of numb to it.
Let me give you, I don't really care. If anybody is selling anything through the internet today, let me give you just a little bit of advice. If you're worried about putting the price because of comments that's going to be put up under it, let me give you a little thing. Read up on what's called squeeze pages. To see the price and picks, you got to give me some information to be able to see that. It's called a squeeze page. You squeeze the information out of somebody. Instead of, hey, you got to get in touch with me to find out the price. Nope. So look up squeeze pages. It's the coolest thing in the world for internet marketing. It's a funnel. And you squeeze the information out of the person, and that way you can stay in touch with them forever. Don't give me the crap that I've got to get in touch with you by PM or calling you to find out the price.
Yeah, and I'll say I've done it both ways, and I'll say this, and I don't care to say it. It is... Of late, in the last year, people are a little intimidated by having to do that, by knowing that they have to ask. If that makes sense,
I've done it both ways. They click the button to find out the price. Now, in between clicking that button and actually seeing the price, they give you their name and their email address. That's it.
Yep.
That's very easy to do because I can delete an email when it comes to me.
Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right.
But it, man, this crap of you getting in, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm going new school. That, you know, that I'm, because this is one of the rare times that I'm saying that I don't like personal communication to find out, because it irritates me texting. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'd much rather pick up a phone and talk to somebody. It's getting harder to do, but I'd much rather do it.
All right, so let me give you two examples of this. Now that I've started traveling with all my clients with Mossy Island Outfitters, you know, we're going all over. We're knocking out bucket list hunts. People that have been hunting with me for 20 years. Once in January, most of the time I spend hunting with old clients from Mossy Island Outfitters. Well, you start talking to some of these people from around the U.S. that for these hunts. It's done by text. They're not going to answer. You can call them, and they're going to text you as you're calling them. Now, granted, I understand if you're in the – I'm not trying to call or text you at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're probably still in the blind. But at night, I'm like you. I'm the guy that's going to pick up the phone and talk to you. It's the same thing in the goat world. Don't call and ask a question about a goat. They're not going to pick up their phone. They're going to text you. I'm not a texter. I hate freaking texting. I sound like an old grandpa. But I don't, I just get a lot further being able to talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I would much rather talk to somebody. What drives me crazy is when somebody sends me a text message, and instead of texting them back, I call them, and then they don't answer. But then they'll text me back. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Just pick up the freaking phone. It drives me nuts. God, it drives me nuts.
Man, the Midwest guys,
I don't mind texting. Texting is fine. I text a lot. But it's still funny to me that when I call somebody, even if we've been texting back and forth, and then I call them, it's always funny to me when they seem surprised that I called them.
I will give you credit on that, Josh. You can live in either world. It doesn't bother you. You're great at both of them. That's a rare find, because usually you're one way or the other. You're either like me, hey, I want to talk on the phone, or you're a texter. And, man, you live in both of them. I'll give you credit on that. You can be in either world.
Yeah, I shut it off when it starts to get into long, long text messages. I'm just like, no, forget it. I'm gonna talk to you. It's just easier that way.
And I'm sure you don't get a lot of text about land. I mean, that's a big time investment for people. I'm sure there's a lot of
sometimes people text me, you know, but usually that's phone calls.
Well, we are just about out of time. I wanted to talk to you about William Allen. You got to meet William Allen the other day.
Yeah.
I think I'll save that for tomorrow. You're going to be around tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we'll save that story up for tomorrow, because it takes about 10 or 15 minutes to walk through that story. Because that thing, man, I made a post back about William Allen the other day after the show, and William Allen's become good buddies with me. He hangs out with me, goes to the barn every day with me. He's a kid that lives down the road from my barn. But I made a post back in December about William Allen. Man, that, talk about going viral. That thing is going nuts.
Yeah, I know, and I like that too. Because he's a cool kid.
Well, the thing about it was that it didn't go really crazy at the time that I posted it, but I made that post after the show that, you know, William Allen got a second and third place while he was down there, and I guess people clicked back to the old story that I wrote back December.
Yeah.
And it is going mad. Anyway, I'll tell you more about that, about William Allen tomorrow. I think that it'll be a good kid. Funny how God crossed our paths up to with one another, and it's been a good thing for both of us. But all right, so close out with this before we get to Rob. Turkeys, what are the turkeys doing?
I haven't been out enough to say one way or the other yet, but it was some folks. I don't remember if that was last weekend. I don't know. Everything is running all together here lately. In the last couple of weeks, there have been a few people that have actually been out and heard turkeys. But I usually don't start listening until about the end of February. But
you know, there's so many. It is unbelievable. And look, we're going to get jump off in the turkey hunting here, Josh and I, head over heels in the next a few weeks, because that is, we both love turkey hunting. But there are people out there right now, Josh, having the conversation, and it's going to be an early year for turkey hunting this year.
Oh, ain't no doubt. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be over before it starts. Yeah. Those conversations are, you know, and this week is really the one that sets it off. Big NWTF shows in Nashville and everything this week. And we're actually not going. We usually always go spend the weekend.
I'm going Friday.
But we're not. No, I will not be there this year. First time in I don't know how long. But we just decided not to swing it this year. We love going, but we're not. I'm going to be rabbit hunting all weekend. But that, you know, really after that weekend every year, that's when you start getting all the talk, all the chatter, you know. Oh, well, I've been going every morning before work. I've been here in 6 or 8. They're going to be done before March 15th. It's going to be over with. Youth Week's going to be the best of the year.
Hey, yeah, let me give you guys a little clue. It doesn't matter if they got one right now. Their breeding period works off photo period time.
Yeah,
of day.
Stop talking about facts and truth, Rocky. You're going to make people mad.
Oh, there are no telling what people are sitting out there. Coffee shops around the South right now saying, oh, man, it'll be early year on the turkey. It'll be over.
that started. Look, I guarantee you could have gone somewhere February 1st and found a conversation or two about that. No doubt. It's always funny. I mean, it's just, there's conversations like that every year. You can always count on, you know, the rut's going to be earlier. It's going to be a stronger rut, or it's going to be an awful rut. And turkeys are going to be done gobbling before season's over, before season opens, and you know, crappie are going to spawn, you know, a month early or late too. I mean, those conversations always, I mean, they always crack me
you.
Up. You know,
it's going to happen.
And look, the truth
March
is,
March 25th and April the 15th, somewhere in there for us, this area.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. But
anyway, it's something that you and I can talk about every day for the next few weeks. You know, you get sick of what happened to the Ducks podcast or conversations on Duck South. You're really going to get sick of, you know, turkeys are gobbling and it's going to be over with by the time it starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be over. You just forget it. You might as well just resell all your TSS back on Facebook real quick, because there's no reason in even going.
It's about time for a T-Roy podcast, isn't it?
It is.
Troy back on here and talk turkey.
It is. We need to get Troy back on here before they start traveling and beating the roads up, running after turkeys, because they start. And when they start, they don't really stop. So, yeah,
that's
we need
pretty
to get
cool,
Troy back
man.
On
there. T-Roy called me the other day, and he said, man, hey, you want to go to New Mexico with us? I'm like, no.
Yes. Yeah, they. We need to get him back on here because they, you know, they do. It's really cool how they do that. They kind of, they start their year traveling, killing turkeys, and then if I'm, Troy had to correct me, but I think they go right back to the same place in September and start their year chasing elk, out west. So it's pretty neat.
Him and Preston Pittman, those two, good night. They know turkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. I saw those two.
Troy's going to be mad at me when we get him on here, too. And if you're listening, Troy, I'm sorry, but we were in Madison, I guess, two or three weeks ago. We were in, you know, Madison, Jackson area, and Troy was pulling out of his neighborhood, and I did not realize it until I got past him. I was on the phone and looked at my rear view and saw his Primo's truck and everything. And oh crap! Now I gotta hide because if he sees me and knows that I didn't say hey, he'll be real mad. So I've given it about 3 weeks now. So Troy, I didn't say hey. Sorry. He'll be mad at me. But yeah, we'll get Troy back on here for sure here soon, and Preston too. We need to get Preston back on here too. But
we are supposed to be doing the Preston Pittman story. I'm probably releasing it a little too early, but the way it's going now, it's probably going to be after turkey season because Preston goes nuts. But Preston, you want to talk about somebody with a crazy, interesting story, man? Preston's got
it. Yeah, and that's a lot. Yeah, and a lot of people have never heard the. Well, I guess with all the stories that we've been able to do on here, there's been a lot of things people didn't know. But I don't know. I don't want to say the same old, you know. Well, your eyes, you know, you're really going to be opened up to something you never knew before when Preston gets on here and talks. But I mean, the truth of it is, y'all, I mean, Preston's story is
Preston is
it's crazy as Preston himself. And that might be the best way of putting it.
I'll say this. Preston has jumped in a Corvette three different times and gone 0 to 150 in 6.5 seconds and hit a 10-foot-tall brick wall. Two or three different times. It is a great story. Like I said, I don't know if he'd go into detail about it. That's his choice. But I'm sure that he'll talk some about it without giving some.
Yeah. No, it'll be
too
really,
much
really
info.
Good.
But all right, Josh, we'll get back together tomorrow. Look forward to it. But we've got to get to Rob now. Thank you again, man.
See you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Rob Kroom. It is Monday, Rob. Been 2 weeks. There's got to be a lot that's happened in 2 weeks.
I forgot half of it, probably.
I did, while I was at Dixie, one of the things that popped up on my phone on Monday was, I guess I was sitting down to eat a burger or something. One of the things that popped up in my, as I was looking at Facebook for a second, was the beer toss from the ground floor to look like a second level of a house.
Yeah. We rent this house up at the river. It's a nice house. It's an Airbnb. And we go up there and goof off and ride boats and hunt and stuff. We'll rent it out and go fish. And anyway, so we rent it out for the Super Bowl. Anyway, we've been up there and had a few beers. And I was getting some out of the cooler. And my buddy Church was up there. He said, throw me a beer. I said, throw you one? He said, yeah, it had to be. I don't know how far. It had to be 20 yards at least. And I whipped him one up there, and he never had to move. It hit him right. And I mean, it made me feel like maybe I should. I got eligibility. I might could walk on at Ole Miss.
No state.
All right, state, yeah. If I had a, if I could play linebacker, I could sure walk on at Ole Miss. But yeah, it was a pretty good talk. I thought I was going to get more reactions out of that than I did.
I saw the cooking video. It looked like y'all were making shish kebabs. I'm going to say you were about 18 deep when y'all made that one.
No, Rocky, those are called Rob kebabs. We shorten it up sometimes to kebabs. I did a cooking show here in Jackson on those about 3 years ago. If you can find that, it's glorious. the name of the show is Down Home on the Range. Special guest Rob Kroon cooking Rob kebabs.
Even I don't know on this one. Is this serious or is this the truth?
This is the honest truth, swear to God. This really happened. It's been a while. My kids were still in strollers. I remember that. So it's been five, six, 7 years. But, yeah, it's out there somewhere. They show replays of it at, like, 2 in the morning, you know, when everybody's not watching. But it's good.
In a day stoop. What the? Hold on. In a day. Stupid, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I bet you're a pretty good looking fella.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to turn my windshield wipers on to keep these girls off my truck.
And I know this, another controversy. You know, controversy seems to follow you. But this shouldn't be controversial at all. I will admit that on your side. That, you know, you just said you're going to start hunting the big water next year.
Yeah, I'm done with that knee deep in them woods. I don't care nothing about it anymore. I'm going in that big water. See, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm a big water OG. I've been hunting the big water for a long time. I'm done with that knee deep. That's no longer a part of my life. I'm either hunting the ankle deep in the pecans or deep, where you can't even wear waders from now on. I'm done with that timber. I don't care. It's no longer a part of my life.
Well, the reason that this turned into a controversy was because of Big Water, which is Mark Wilson, good friend of mine, from MS Duck South. He saw that, just kidding around, put it on a t-shirt or whatever, and man, everybody came to Mark's rescue on that deal.
Yeah.
This is trademark. You can't touch Big Water.
Yeah, Big Water is his screen name back in 1993. It had a freak out thinking I was trying to steal his name, which was the most obnoxious thing I've ever heard. And then these OGs from MS Ducks came out from everywhere. It was like, you're not the real Big Water. I'm like, read the post, you dumbasses. The next day, they came out with the literacy rates in the 50 states, and of course, Mississippi was at the bottom. All these dudes are getting all mad, like, you can't take the name. I was like, I don't want the name. I never wanted the name. I just said I was hunting Big Water. Calm down. Come at me. I looked his profile up. He'd probably beat me up, but I mean, I ain't trying to stake his name.
I know, crazy, Mark. Man. I know Mark's listening to this too. Mark exercises every day, and he listens to the podcast. And he knows by the length of the podcast, that's how much he should exercise.
Well, Mark, I know this much. I want Mark to know that I don't want to be called Big Water, and that he can have it. He's Big Water. He's got it. I'm just going to hunt the Big Water.
I'll tell you this, Mark has gone, I'm going to say that probably Mark probably weighed 325, 350 at one time. That sucker's down to about 245, 250 now.
Oh, I could take him there.
Mark, you may want to think about changing to medium water.
Oh, I could take him, man, if he's down that much. I could take him.
You and Mark
would
have a ball. You know, there's people that I've told you before that, hey, Kroon, you ever hung out with them? You and him would be best buddies. Mark is that guy.
Yeah, I know. We need to get together.
You and him would be best friends.
I can't wait. I'm ready for this turkey banquet or whatever it's called.
So are you loading up in the limo like last year?
Man, I don't know if we can do that again. There's a story that we, I don't know if it's true. But there's a story that we left the convention and went to and went to a restaurant. I don't know what restaurant it was. Don't even remember. But we walked in and told the hostess, do not put us near anybody. Put us in the very back. If you've got a different room, to put us in that. And they set us right in the middle of the restaurant around everybody. I guess they thought it'd be funny. And the story goes that I threw a roll behind me over my back without looking. It's kind of like the beer toss, really. And it hit the hottest waitress in the whole place. Now, this is all hearsay. I don't remember it. I didn't see it. So, but the story goes that I thought I was at the old, what's that restaurant called in Missouri?
Oh, the Throw and Roll in Sykeston.
Where they throw the rolls. Yeah, whatever that place is. So, yeah, I guess I thought I was there at their roll, but there's no video or anything, so I think they made it up. But, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm trying to find me a room. I'm surprised that the NWTF just won't put me up. But I'm going to go terrorize Spencer in his booth for sure.
Halford will be there.
Oh, yeah. He'll be there for sure. He'll have one of the good booths. I'll be there with those guys a lot. They sneak in beer, too. So, I mean, what could go wrong?
I didn't know if Spence would become too big for NWTF.
Yeah, he probably is. If somebody has room in their hotel room for me, please let me know. I'm looking for just somewhere to lay my head. You know, I snore really loud, but I sleep hard. So if you got a girl in the room, I'll never know. I'd be happy to split it with you, whatever. I know some of these rooms in Opryland have couches, and I'm really good on the couch. So if anybody's listening and wants to hang out and share a room with me, I'm game. I'm probably only going to come, probably only stay Thursday and Friday. So one night, probably go home Friday.
You know, last year at the NWTF is when the Greasome Outfitter t-shirt made its debut. That was a big
deal.
That's
right. It was a huge deal. Huge deal. And the guy that's got the print for it is right over here. I'm looking at his shop. I may go over there and get something made. I mean, they're awesome shirts. I still got mine. I wear it hunting about, I don't know, every other day. But it's a classic for sure. And, you know, my knee was hurt last year because I had just had surgery. It was either right before surgery or right after surgery. I can't remember. But I couldn't walk. So I pretty much just stayed in the bar the whole time. There is some video of me singing to the bartender. I'll need to get that and post it on the thread. But I was also doing a hoot owl call throughout the bar, and they threatened to kick me out for that, but they let me stay. But anyway, this year I can walk, so I'll be mobile and I'll be able to see everybody this year.
So you don't know if you're taking the Mystery Machine or not, because that it kind of looked like a 70s Volvo van.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Last year, when they stopped at a gas station so we could get more beer and let everybody take a leak, and I ripped the handle off of the door. So I don't know if he's going to let us take that rig again. So we're kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do about that. So I don't know. But the main problem here is somewhere to stay, to lay my head. That's the main issue. Getting there is not the problem. I'll Uber up there if I have to.
Hey, you know, in all seriousness, back to what we were originally talking to, and I kind of threw a joke out there about Spence. I mean, Spence is a great guy, very influential person in the waterfowl world right now. And that brings me to that question that popped up on Duck South. If you had to, and this is serious, if you had to list the top five of influential people in the waterfowl world, who would you put on there? Because, listen, I listed out 10 or 12, and I think that they moved the needle. Everybody that I listed in that thread moved the needle, and I included you in that. I mean, your numbers on this podcast are huge, and anytime you make a post, and I will say this about you. Before anybody in the South was wearing Sitka, you were a Sitka man.
I know. I'm surprised I'm not giving any credit for that out of Bozeman or wherever they are. But yeah, I'm a Sitka man for life. I wore it when all they had was the mustard print camo.
But I had about 12 on there. And I'm asking you seriously, who would you put who do you think moves the needle in the waterfowl world?
Well, I mean, obviously, Robinson and Coco start, you know, early on. I mean, early on for media is what I'm saying. I'm not right. talking about, you know. And then after that, I mean, you've got a bunch of people, you know, you've got podcasts, you know, here and there. But if I need some information about planting food for ducks or questions about how to get rid of some lily pads or something, I'm calling Ramsey, right?
Bradley Ramsey?
Huh? Yeah.
Ramsey Russell or Bradley Ramsey?
No, Bradley. I'm calling, and I have talked to him about it before. But then if I just want to know, like, if I've got a question, you know, about where they're at or if I needed to know something, which, you know, I don't do this, but I would call Bill Cooksey.
Yeah, Cooksey.
Yeah, I met him back in the 90s. I had some mutual friends, some older guys that I hunted with that hunted with him in another club. I think he's still in it. But anyway, I met him back then, and, you know when you meet somebody, you're just like, that dude knows his stuff. And that was 20 years ago. But anyway,
let me rephrase this question to you. If somebody right now, if let's just say that they made a post, a video, or they posted up some kind of descriptive story in text, who would Rob Kroon sit back and read or watch if they popped up on his timeline?
Josh Goins.
He's just moving the needle right now.
He's an idiot. So no, I don't know, man. I mean, I try to, like, I'm one of those people, like, I try to take as much as I can from everybody like a sponge. I don't like, you know, I don't get sucked into one thought or another, and I kind of try to base what I know already and base it off of other stuff. Like, I learned a lesson the other day. I don't know if you saw this post, but I didn't realize that they use banding, the bird banding program, for harvest data. I was like, they just do that for, you know, research on the ducks and migration patterns and crap like that. But I had no idea, and there was a couple guys on there that made some really good points, and I finally was like, well, I guess I could use some sort of equation to figure out, you know, like this year I killed one band, last year I killed four or five, and the year before that I killed three or four. So, I mean, it made sense because my numbers were down 47%. So, I mean, that did kind of make sense to me after they explained it. And so, you know, I joke around a bunch, but I also, you know, when I hear information like that and I get corrected, I mean, that's good stuff to know. So I kind of take a lot from everybody, even some of the posts that people wouldn't think carry much merit. You know, I try to get as much as I can. I mean, I've been studying these things for a long time, and I don't, you know, there's, you know, I learn something new from them all the time, whether it's the people or the ducks or whatever. So
I'll say this, and you've heard Spence say this before, as much crap as Rob jokes about on this, Rob kills probably more ducks or has killed more ducks than most people see in their lifetime. That's the truth.
Well, I mean, I'm lucky, and I've hunted good spots, and I've got good friends that have good spots, and I'm very, very, very lucky to get to go to those spots. So it's not like, you know, I'm out scouting every day. I just get lucky and kind of end up at the right place at the right time a lot of times. But, you know, like I said, when I was 14, my dad had an extra truck at the house that we pulled four-wheelers with and stuff because he had a car for work, a company car. So I would steal his truck when I was 14 and ride down the refuge. It's 26 miles one way. I just ride down the refuge and just watch them and listen and, you know, just watch what they would do. And kind of try to learn that way. And so, yeah, I've been studying them and, you know, trying to, I guess you could say, figure them out. You can't figure them out. But I've been listening to some of these posts about these guys that been hunting the same spot for 60 years and the geese are leaving and can't figure out why they're leaving. And I'm just like, dude, they're not going to come to the same spot every year just because your fat ass is sitting there. You know, like, you got to go with them. You got to adapt. And, you know, they used to, the ducks used to be really, really thick here in West Tennessee. And they just shift. They're still a bunch here, but they're on different flyways or rivers, whatever you'll call it. And so they're not in the same place. So you got places that used to be really, really good and consistent, and they've moved more in the northwest corner now instead of the, you know, kind of in between Jackson and Memphis, around the Hatchie and the South Fork and here and all that. But, you know, you can't go – just because you were killing 500, you know, back in the mid-90s doesn't mean you're going to kill them again here in 2018 and 19. They just – they're ducks and geese. They move. So I get frustrated when I read these posts about these guys that can't figure out why they left and, you know, well, are they going to come back? No, they're not going to come back. Not in our lifetime, probably. You know, it's just interesting seeing what, you know, the people that'll get up and go and chase them. I mean, I put 12,000 miles on my truck in duck season, you know. So, I mean, it's not like the people that are just going to the same spot every day and complaining about not killing anything. I can't help you, you know. So, but, yeah, I try to take as much as I can off there. It's amazing some of the stuff that I've learned off of Duck South that nobody else would pay any attention to or nobody else would think a big deal about it. And it doesn't have to be some huge deal. You know, it can be something little, and you say, hey, that's a pretty good idea. I bet that's true. So I think there's a whole lot more. I do. Your list is spot on. I mean, the guys that you have on there know their stuff. You know, Spencer would get lost in the woods without us with him, or Dennis. Dennis Campbell needs to be on that list. But anyway, yeah, Spencer, you know, he just shot chases anyway, so. But yeah, that list is spot on. But I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people on that site that post information that's really, really valuable. That I don't know. Some people might take it. Some people might think it's goofy or a joke or something. But there's a lot of stuff on there if you'll pay attention and take it in that you can learn. And when turkey season comes up, then you've really got some information that could mean a lot, because I've only been turkey hunting 3 or 4 years, I think. And I'd rather do that than anything. I'm completely, completely ate up with that. So, I don't know. It's just funny, you know, you learn a lot on there. You know, there's a lot of people joking around and all, you know, there's a lot of joking around, but there's a lot of good information too.
Hey, I want you to pay me $1 every time that you hear this year that because of the warm spring that we're having, warm February and January, the turkeys are going to be early this year.
Yeah, that I couldn't afford it. I know a certain area right now that is absolutely smoking the crappie, and I have to think that's because of the way it was. But it's coming. You know how I've been dealing with these goofy posts lately? CBD, baby. I take me a handful of these gummies and turn into La La Land and lay on my couch.
I heard that I saw this on the news, in northeast Mississippi and southwest Tennessee, the flu outbreak has been enormous.
Holy mackerel. My kids were out of school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I wouldn't be surprised if they cancel it for tomorrow, because there's no kids in class. They're all sick. I've got friends of mine that got three or four kids, and the whole family's sick. Everybody. I had the big twin, as I call him. He had the flu he's had it for a week. I don't even think he should have gone to school today. Elizabeth was just like, he's going, I don't care. But he's had it for like a week. He's had fever, no joke, for a week straight. And he hadn't been feeling, I mean, he doesn't act like he's miserable. Like, every once in a while, he's like, I'm going to lay down, I don't feel good. But he hasn't been just like, you know, puking rallies and stuff like that. So I don't know what this little virus is. They all got the flu shot. I didn't. I won't get it. I refuse. People are like, you got to get the flu shot. I'm like, hell no. Every time I get the flu shot, I almost die. So I never get it, but they all get the flu shot. And look who's got the flu. I'm over here with a cold or a hangover. I can't figure out which one it is. But they all got the flu, and I'm like, uh-uh. No, sir.
So here's where I get that information from. So last week we get home and I flip on, it's the replay of the news.
And that night on the Memphis News Station, which covers your area and my area also, but they have these people in masks with pump-up sprayers going around and spraying while school is out for the flu. Pump-up sprayers spraying the school with this stuff that it says it eats the germs up.
Yeah,
disinfect
right.
The whole school. It looks like
something
out of a sci-fi thriller, what they're doing to these schools to try to eliminate the flu.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I mean, the thing is, it's not like these kids just carry... I mean, first of all, the kids are tough as crap. Everybody knows that has one. But they carry these germs, and it's not like... your little tricks and treats aren't going to work. I mean, you can mask up or whatever you want to do, like... You know, my grandmother was in the hospital this week, and I went over there to see her, and I took two steps in the hospital, and I was like, I need to get out of here, because I don't have the flu, but I damn sure carried it. And I was like, I'm going to kill everybody in the hospital. So I left, and I FaceTimed her. I was like, Nanny, I'm sorry. I can't come up there. I'm carrying the flu. But anyway, yeah, I mean, everybody's wearing masks and stuff. I'm like, dude, that ain't going to work. Just suck it up. If you get it, you get it. I mean, take some Tamiflu. Like, lay in bed for 3 days. There's nothing wrong with laying in bed for 3 days. I mean, catch up on Netflix, you know, watch a whole series. Milk it for all it's worth. I mean, when I get sick, when I go down hard. My wife is like, dude, you can't be this miserable. And I'm like, bring me some soup and crackers. I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm the worst patient.
Hey, last night on the way home, I was thinking about you. So, you know that one of my favorite Pandora stations is 80s Country.
Yep.
And I was sitting there thinking about it. And we listened to a lot of the stuff from the 90s, that country.
Yep.
That. So, I got a question for you. If you were deserted on an island, and you could have one station to listen to. You could have two. Let's pick two. We'll give you five choices. You get to pick two of them out of the five. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Rabbit, Ronnie Millsap, George Strait, Joe Diffie, or Sawyer Brown. Two out of that five. Who are you keeping on the channels?
Wow. Ronnie Millsaps.
Eddie Rabbit.
It's tough.
Old George Strait. Sawyer Brown.
Man.
Or Joe Diffie.
I guess I'd have to go with old George Strait, but it's really close. Ronnie Millsaps and George Strait.
That's pretty good choices.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many good choices from the 80s and early 90s. I mean... Dude, my station, I'm looking at it right now, like, Prime Country is on my, you know, right here. I mean, if I'm going down the road and I get a good song on, maybe it was Memphis, some Alibi, Tracy Lawrence, some O.T.
Ooh, Tracy Lawrence, man, I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. And then, you know, you get some, they got some good stuff on there that you'll forget about, and, I mean, you can get to jamming, you know. So, yeah, that's you got a good list, but there's so many good ones on there. I mean,
all right. What about Aaron?
I can get deserted.
Aaron Tippin. Did you listen to him?
See, there's another one.
Man,
I mean, there's so many
about
good.
Tracy Lawrence, though. God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many good ones. So, it's hard to just pick one, but. If I got on a deserted island and I had every Hank Williams Jr. CD, I'd be completely fine. I wouldn't need anything else.
Aaron Tippin was one of the first concerts I ever went to as a, like, without parents. Aaron Tippin and Confederate Railroad used to travel the country.
Oh, yeah. The Queen of Memphis. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. You got, I mean, there's so many, man. There's so many. But all this new crap, I mean, get out of here. I'd rather listen to pop.
Wow. Man, Tracy Lawrence. I was just sitting here looking at all the, man, he had some great ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was awesome. Still is.
Golly.
Hello?
Texas Tornado.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got, there's tons of them. So, I mean, and then, you know, a lot of people don't like Sammy Kershaw, but if you don't like Queen of My Double Eye Trailer, you're not American.
Oh, you're not.
Speaking of American, Rocky, me and a group of my friends have been joking for like 2 weeks about the, our ancestry, like our, you know, doing an ancestry.com DNA test, and we're all about to do it. But we've been joking about, like, I just found out my mechanic's a freaking Viking, okay? Little buddy is a Viking. All right? So we're all fixing to do it. And I don't know what's going to come back, but I'm so excited. I mean, I wish they could do it, like, instantly. I think it takes, like, 3 weeks or something. The only thing I'm scared of, honestly, is once they get my DNA, you know they're going to sell it back to the legal system, right? I mean, that's how they're making more money.
It's some kind of black helicopter deal going on with that DNA testing.
Right. I mean, they're going to sell it back to the... They're definitely giving it to the law. They have to be selling it back to them. And so, you know, for future endeavors, it might be costly. But I think I'm over a lot of that devious behavior. But yeah, we're going to do it. I got a friend that says he's half Mexican all the time. We're going to find out how Mexican he is. Did you happen to see that commercial that the Mexican Airlines put out? They went to somewhere in Texas and interviewed all these people and asked if they would travel to Mexico, and they're all like, no, I won't go to Mexico. And so they all did all these DNA tests on them, and they like, they were asking them, like, well, do you like Hispanic people? And they're like, no. And they did all these DNA tests, and, like, they all came back, like, 17% Hispanic, and, like, one of them was 32, and the lady was like, that can't be right. So funny. I hope I'm something cool and not just some, like, European goofball, you know? It's going to be a downer if it comes back and I'm some just, like, worthless, like, why did I spend the money on that? I want to be something cool, like, little buddy's a Viking. I mean, give me something to work with, you know?
You know, I found out at a family reunion where I came from. And well, it is one of the best stories ever.
Yeah, but so, you can't trust anybody at a family reunion.
No. This guy dug deep in our family history. On one side, I'm LaFleur, which goes back to Greenwood LaFleur, the Choctaw Indian chief that actually signed the treaty over to the federal government, all the lands that Choctaws held. But that's not the interesting part. That's a cool side of my story. But the other side is the Killebrew. That's my mom's maiden name. And Killebrew goes back to Lady Killegrew, the second most known pirate in the world. So she had sex with the King of England and had a bastard child.
Ooh.
And that bastard child, he didn't take the king's name. He took Lady Killegrew's name. And Ooh. So when his descendants came to America in the 1600s, it was such an embarrassing name, Killegrew, that they changed it to Killebrew when they came to America.
That is cool. That is cooler. You should start a brewery out at your farm and call it Killebrew. It'd be great. What could go wrong?
I'm from a drunk Indian and a bastard child.
I love that. I hope I'm from a drunk. I hope somebody, I mean, my family all the time is like, you're Irish, whatever. And then on my mom's side, she was a McCain. So they're like, yeah, you're related to John McCain. I'm like, whatever. And then, like, I'm related to some big-time, old-timey call maker in Pine Bluff, of all places. But I'm sending mine in. It better come back with something cooler. I'm going to be pissed. If it comes back with something goofy, like, you're Irish, like, whatever. I'm just going to be like, man, That sucks. Like, I want it to be something cool. Like, I mean, Steven's a Viking, for Christ's sake. I mean, think about that.
You know, from your everyday activity, you've got to have Irish in you.
Yeah, yeah, I got to have some. But, I mean, I want, like, a whole smorgasbord. I want a little bit of everything. I want to be, like, 15% Mexican, 15% black, 12%. I want everything, man. I'm telling you, I don't want it to be boring. I want to be a little bit of everything. And I got to have some black in me somewhere. I mean, there's so many black crooms here. They're everywhere. Like the guy I had. Anyway, I had a guy detail my truck last week because, you know, from hunting season, it was trash. And so anyway, he calls me the next day. He's like, "Hey, man, your last name Croom?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, we cousins." I was like, "I know." So I'm telling you, dude, I know. I'm just hoping so much that I get a whole smorgasbord of everything. I can't wait to get it. As soon as I get it, I'm posting it on Duck South. I don't care if it's personal or not. I may have some crazy cousins I didn't know about.
Oh, man.
I can't wait. I'm getting excited thinking about it.
That's a great place to stop, man. Great Mondays with Rob. Thank you. I needed it today. I enjoyed it. I can't wait to see if you got some black in you.
I guarantee you, dude, I can't wait. I'm hoping for Mexican, black, Indian. I want a little Viking now. I'm kind of jealous, little buddy, but I don't really look like a Viking. So short and fat. But I got to have something. I want something cool in there. I want a whole mixture.
I bet we could put some horn helmet on your head, and I bet you could come across as a Viking.
If somebody would bring a horn helmet, a Viking helmet to Nashville, I'll wear it in the whole time I'm there. The whole time. I will not take it off one time.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. I freaking jumped
in the Tennessee River over a bet. I will wear it. Somebody bring one, I'll wear it the whole time.
All right, Rob, I enjoyed it. Thank you again. I just want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast. Somebody bring a helmet. Please bring a helmet.